All right, so we have been going through Mark. We're not quite through Mark chapter 1 yet, but we will finish that today. If you guys would turn with me there. Just a recap as to what we've been going through. Jesus began his ministry in the region of Galilee, and that was something that was prophesied about back in Isaiah, and it said that Galilee would be the region that the Lord would start building his kingdom. And he began proclaiming the kingdom of God. And do you remember who he started to call to build his kingdom?
Fishermen,
right? Regular, ordinary men. And he invited them to join him in catching people. And today we're going to see how Jesus is Lord over spiritual and physical strongholds. We're going to see how Jesus heals people from spiritual bondage. We'll see how Jesus heals people from unseen sickness. And we'll see how Jesus heals from seen sickness. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for this time I've gotten to worship with my church family here this morning. And we are rejoicing that you have come to build your kingdom, that you've come to heal us. And call us to be yours, and you give us purpose and identity in you. And Lord, I just pray that we would see you more clearly in the scriptures today, that you would speak in me and to me and through me, and just open our hearts to receive this message from you this morning. In your name we pray, amen. All right, Mark chapter 1, verse 21. This is right after Jesus called Peter and Andrew, James and John, the fishermen, to follow him. And starting in verse 21, and they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. Here we see Jesus teaching with authority, and it says, not like the scribes. And I kind of wonder what it would have been like to be under the teaching of the scribes. Was it just kind of boring, and they were reading things, or maybe guessing at certain scriptures? And then all of a sudden, they hear Jesus teach, and he teaches with authority, and it's almost like he's teaching and speaking on behalf of God himself. I think they felt something different under Jesus' teaching. There's meaning here. He's connecting scriptures in a way we've never seen before. Things change when Jesus teaches. It's not like the traditions that we're used to. There's something different and new here. And then all of a sudden it gets interrupted by a man with a demon. Could you imagine being in a service and having that commotion happen in the back? Mark starts telling us this story, and we get a picture of Israel and what it would have been like around this time. It should be a place that is filled with God's peace and presence, right? This is God's promised land. But instead, we get a picture that it's filled with God's enemies. People are tormented by sickness and disease, and the effects of sin are everywhere. Demons are common. We're going to see that as we keep moving forward in the scripture here. Demons are common, and here we see even in the synagogues. In a place of worship, demons are common. But Mark is presenting Jesus here as the one who delivers God's people from all his enemies. So in another gospel, it's recorded that Jesus, just prior to what we read, was in Nazareth teaching at the synagogue there. And he had opened up the scriptures to Isaiah 61. And he read this: "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." And he was rejected there. But as he goes to other villages and towns, and he starts building his kingdom, we see that he's actually fulfilling the scripture. And he's doing it. He's setting the captives free. This man was in bondage from a demon, and Jesus just set him free. A careful study of the Old Testament, you'll realize there was no casting of demons at all in the whole Old Testament. The closest that it came was, do you remember when King Saul was tormented by an evil spirit and he would have David come in and play the harp and it would calm? That's the closest we get to someone dealing with an evil spirit. But there was no casting out of demons. And here we get a picture of a man who is actually doing it. He's casting out the demons from people and setting people free. And Jesus does not permit the demons to speak. Did you notice that? You would think a guy who's trying to build a kingdom and get something going would want everyone to be talking about it. And it's interesting that he doesn't allow the demons to speak here. But Jesus does not need demons to testify about him. He chooses to use who? Fishermen. Regular people. People that love him to testify about him and build his kingdom. He's going to do it in his own way, on his own time, and he's going to do it the way that brings glory to the Father, not in a way of God's enemies just saying, "I know who you are." He's doing it in a way that people love him, are building his kingdom. And Jesus also has a desire for some secrecy at this point. He wants to be revealed in his own way and on his own time. So think about it. It wasn't until after his death and resurrection did he make a big deal about who he was, right? Normally he's just going through life and just saying, "Be free, be healed," things like that. He's doing it in a way that's not drawing a lot of attention to himself because he knows his time has not yet come. His time is the cross and the tomb, right? So up until then, he's just desiring to go about and be quieter. He's not seeking fame. He's fulfilling scripture. Let's read in verse 29. "And immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him." So again, Jesus doesn't just preach from the stage and then run off and hide. Like you might see some of the famous televangelists or things like that. He's preaching, but then he's going into the homes of people and doing life with them. This is how he's building his kingdom. And we see here that Simon, who's also called Peter, his mother-in-law was sick with a fever, right? I think this shows love in their home, that they would bring the attention of the sick mother-in-law to Jesus, right? I can imagine several guys out there that would not bring up if their mother-in-law was sick. But we get a real picture of what the family life was like. They're concerned about her. They're doing life together. And when Jesus healed her, notice there wasn't just an absence of disease, but the restoration of strength. It said, "He took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them," right? It's not like she's just like, "Oh, I'm starting to feel a little bit better." She got up, and she began to serve. And I just pictured, what was this like, right? Oh, boys, you're back. You're back from fishing. You're back from the synagogue. You got to try my monkey bread, right, Velma? And you just get this picture of, they do life together. It's good. But she was under sickness. She was, you know, maybe it was leading her to her death. But there was concern, there was love, and they brought her, Jesus to her, and he healed her. And she was healed, and not only that, but she began to serve. She was restored. And then you notice after that, people waited until sundown. I think they didn't want to dishonor the Sabbath day, right? But then as soon as sundown happened, you can imagine the word's out, right? Everyone's coming to the house. They're all waiting outside the door. We heard there's something happening here. We heard there's someone here that can heal, that can bring restoration. And Jesus began to heal people of various diseases that were sick and cast out many demons. Could you imagine the joy and the praise and the worship that was happening at that house that night? Everyone from town was there and everyone was seeing what was happening. Again, Jesus was not allowing the demons to speak. Shows his power that he will be revealed on his own time. Let's get to verse 35. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And they went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. What stands out to you guys here? Do you notice right away in verse 35? Rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. It reminds me of Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. You guys are probably familiar with this one. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." You ever make that connection? This is the man that psalm is talking about. He's the one that meditates on God's good law day and night. He starts out his morning this way. He ends his evening that way. And all day long, he's thinking and meditating on the ways of the Lord. Psalm chapter 5, verse 3 also says, "O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch." Again, that's that one man who knows how to worship his Father. He gets up in the morning and the Lord hears him, because he's getting up in the morning and he's seeking his Father right away. And he prepares a sacrifice for you and watch. It's almost like he's laying everything out and saying, "Lord, do something with this. I'm going to watch how you handle my struggles or my fears or what I'm dealing with." This is Jesus. Of all those psalms, it's a picture of the one man who knows how to worship. What's the first thing we think about when we get up in the morning?
Coffee.
Isn't that? I mean, it's a confession time, isn't it? Maybe it's coffee. Maybe, you know, a lot of times the first thing I do is check Facebook and see what's going on in the world. And we're so consumed with things going on in our little busy lives. But how different would our lives be if we got up in the morning and the first thing we did was pray and prepared a sacrifice for the Lord and said, "I'm going to watch this"? What if we were like the one man? Verse 39, "And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons." Again, Jesus isn't just staying in one spot. He's traveling to different towns and he's building his kingdom and he's showing people, this is who I am. This is what I've come to do. I've come to set the captive free. I've come to give healing to the blind. Watch the lame man leap, right? And then we get to verse 40. So he's going out to different towns, all in Galilee, preaching in their synagogues, casting out demons. Verse 40, and a leper came to him, imploring him and kneeling, said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them. But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places and people were coming to him from every quarter. We see this leper come to Jesus. And you know, leprosy could be various skin diseases and it can affect the limbs and things like that. It's very contagious and very harming. Lepers would have lived outside the city limits. Okay, this all comes from Leviticus. There was a lot of laws concerning this. And the law forbid people to be in contact with them. So if we actually stop and think about what would the life of a leper be like? You're living outside of the town. You probably don't have as many resources as you would if you lived in the town. So you're alone. You're probably poor. You're living maybe with other lepers. But your human contact is very little, if at all. Could you imagine going for years without any human contact? I don't think any of us here can imagine what that truly would be like. Maybe we go a day without human contact, but just imagine just anything. No human contact whatsoever and how lonely the lepers would have felt. But yet he comes to Jesus. I don't know how the word got to him. Somehow it did. He knew there was something going on. And he goes to Jesus and he says in faith, if you will, you can make me clean. He didn't say, I think maybe you could. Or do you think you could? He says, if you will, you can do this. He had faith in his heart that the Lord could change him and change his condition and change his identity. And Jesus has pity on him, and it says he touched him. Could you imagine going for years without human touch, and then the first touch you receive is from the healer, and you are healed? And the law in Leviticus, again, it said if you touched a leper, you would also become unclean. Does Jesus become unclean here? Or does he make the leper clean? And I find that fascinating, church. Isn't that awesome? And Jesus tells him not to go tell anyone, but present himself before the priest as a proof to them. So again, I think Jesus knew this guy's going to praise, he's going to share, but I need you to observe the law that was set up by Moses and go to the priest and have him examine you and have the priest say, you're clean, buddy. Welcome back. Right? As a proof to them, there's something happening in the region. God's doing something again. People are finding healing. They're being set free. They're finding a new identity. And this guy goes and spreads the news everywhere. Again, I can just imagine him leaping and shouting for joy and helping the Lord build his kingdom by praising him and saying, God's doing something here. Go find this one. So what we've read this morning is proof that the kingdom of heaven has come in power, right? We've seen physical healing. The kingdom of heaven has come in mercy. Jesus cleansed away sin. A new priest has come. What was the job of the priest? It was to declare people clean, to make an atonement for sin. Here, a new priest has come. He's the one that has brought the healing, and he's the one that declared the man clean. A new temple has come. It's not a building to worship in, it's a person. Normally, the person that needed the healing or the to be examined after they've been healed or cleaned would have to go to the temple And here, Jesus is the temple, and he's going around the towns and doing it. And a new sacrifice has come. Normally, when people were healed or declared clean, they would also have to make an atonement or a sacrifice. And here, Jesus himself is going to be the sacrifice for them. Church, how do we identify with each of the people in these stories? Are we like the demon-possessed man with evil powers influencing us? Or maybe it's sinful things in our lives that need to be removed by Jesus? Are we like Simon's mother-in-law, having an illness or physical limitation we are dealing with that we should ask Jesus to heal? Are we like the leper, struggling with an identity that keeps us from glorifying Jesus and telling others about him? These people were forever changed because they met Jesus. And will we in faith reach out to Jesus to make us clean? And I want to do something a little different this morning.